Thanks, Mike, and thanks to Leighton's and PB for your sponsorship of today's event. And thank you all for joining us here today, and it's a pleasure to speak with you. The last time I was supposed to be here was a few months ago, and I was taken ill on that day and couldn't arrive, and so it's good to be back. This is an interesting time to be involved in transport. And someone tells me that to live in interesting times is a Chinese curse. And in some ways you think that is. I'm also daily reminded of the capacity of the New South Wales Minister for Transport to upset more Australians in any one time than any other federal or state minister right across Australia with the rail network and whether or not it works that day. I'm also very conscious of the fact, I don't know if any of you watched Keating, the musical, last night, but I saw it again on Sunday night, and one of the strong themes that came through that musical was time passing, and time is just with us to be used, and pretty quickly the opportunity fades. And I think that's always been so of government, but probably no more true of government in New South Wales currently, with the state we're in relation to infrastructure spending and the need to get on with it now. I asked Mike what you wanted to hear from me, and basically I figure there's two things. One, is the government serious about our infrastructure plans? And my absolute message to you is yes, we are. The Premier has taken it on as absolute central to what he wants to do, is the seriousness of getting on with building infrastructure. And the second question, do we, the government, want the private sector to gear up to be part of that? And the answer to that is overwhelmingly yes. And I figure that's the end of my speech. Because the rest is me trying to prove it. But if you don't believe me at the kick-off, we've got some trouble. But we are determined to make a difference with our transport modes because they make a difference in the lives of the citizens of this state, economic and social. Just look at the recent success of World Youth Day, and you couldn't get me off the stage without talking about the success of it because it was overwhelming. 200,000 pilgrims, 110,000 from overseas, the largest event ever hosted in Australia. And we did it so well. We seem to do these big events very well in this city. And central to that was public transport. City Rail ran an extra 930 train services, for example, on Sunday 20 July, the day of the final mass. An estimated 490,000 passenger trips. Something that I think City Rail can be very proud of. But it wasn't just City Rail, it was Sydney Buses. It was the private bus network that moved those pilgrims every day of that week, and it showed the capacity of our transport system and its people. Some people said, well, why can't you do it that well every day? Well, in fact, we do it well every day. On time running last week was in the rail system was 96%. And the reality is, as you know, when you're planning for such a critical week, you put a huge amount of planning in it for 2 years ahead. So we had 97% of our rolling stock out there being used during that week. Normally you run about 91% because of the maintenance requirements. We stopped freight basically coming into the city during that week. You can't do that week in, week out, and you can't cancel or leave normally so that everyone is available. Nevertheless, the improving transport system, I think, is a fact. And I don't think it's a fact. It is a fact. It's very difficult to say that publicly, but it is true. I took the opportunity on one of those train trips during World Youth Day. There was this group of American pilgrims, and they were so happy, and they said, this public transport system's fantastic. And I said, oh great, I'm the minister. Normally I don't volunteer that to train commuters, but they said, look, this is just sensational. So I left very happily, but it is an important time for public transport. Climate change, emissions trading, environment, congestion, all of these things at the top of the national agenda, all of them in some way impacted on by public transport. More and more people are recognising that good public transport is essential to the efficient running of a community. men and women going to work, kids going to school, going to university, people going out for social life. The very things that we all accept or hope that is just basic to our Australian way of life, it depends on good infrastructure being in place. But it's not just rail, it's also buses, it's bus priority lanes, it's commuter car parks, it's interchanges, it's all of those things. It's an interesting time also because we have a federal government now which is committed to public transport in our major cities. The previous government saw its prime responsibility, as you know, in the freight issue, and so too the federal government has to play a prime role in that. But it's pleasing to have a federal government that now believes that a federal government should get involved in our cities and the movement of people through public transport. And we've been working very cooperatively with the federal government, and you know, Infrastructure Australia and the Building Fund and so on will continue or start to deliver next year in particular a heavy level of funding for projects throughout Australia and including New South Wales, we hope. But there is a lot at stake, and National Accounts tells us that transport and logistics and storage is a $50 billion industry per annum. It's central to our success, and we have to do it better. One of the things the federal government is doing is the development of a national transport policy. We don't have one, and it's time that we do, and the state is certainly cooperating in that. We are cooperating with them over issues like the M4 East, the M5, metros. These are partnerships that will only get stronger between the New South Wales government and the federal government. I hope that gives you some confidence about the viability of our plans. New South Wales is the powerhouse of the Australian economy, and we need to be doing this work here. 32% of the gross domestic product comes out of New South Wales. We're attracting the bulk of overseas migration, absorbing more than 30% of Australia's net migration here, and the bulk of that into Western and Southwestern Sydney, and that's going to continue. Demographic trends such as the ageing population and urban spread in the coastal and new urban areas will further drive demand for infrastructure. Around 70% of New South Wales population growth is forecast in the Greater Sydney region, where 78% of the state's population will reside within 10 years. So it's all about Sydney, folks, when you're talking to New South Wales. Of course we have responsibilities outside, but Sydney, as we know, is the driving heart of New South Wales and Australia. And that's recognised around the world. It's also in the middle of a population boom. We're expected Sydney's population to grow by 1 million people over the next 25 years. A substantial number of new people coming here. By 2031, we'll need to have 640,000 new homes, 500,000 new jobs. These are huge figures, and it's the growth that is coming now, and really nothing we can see is going to stop it. And it's why the state government accepts its critical role in the provision of infrastructure. It's why the state infrastructure plan, if you want to know what we're going to do, have a look at the state infrastructure plan. $140 billion worth of investment in infrastructure over the next 10 years. Projects like the upgrade to the Pacific Highway, the Barangaroo redevelopment, the desal plant and water recycling projects, 15 hospitals, 51 schools, 27 TAFEs, 17 police stations, and of course the massive transport budget. These are huge plans for this place that dwarf what's gone before. And we have to do it because the people are coming. And if we don't do it, this place will be a mess. The amenity of Sydney, that thing that we love so much if we live here, will be tested if we don't deliver this infrastructure plan. So any responsible state government has to deliver that. And at the end of the day, that's what state governments do. They do two things, really. They provide services, school teachers, hospitals, police, and they build things. That's what you ask of a state government. We are committed to doing both of those things because our state demands it, our people demand it. So what about our transport needs? Today there are several transport modes that I'm actually not going to talk about, despite the fact they draw columns and columns of interest out of our papers and news commentary. So nothing from me about ferries or light rail or bicycles or Vespas or even pedestrians. Look, I love them all dearly. But I'm Minister for Transport in New South Wales, and the big daddies are rail and buses. End of story. That's what moves people in our city. On any one day, almost 750,000 people use buses and trains to get to and from the CBD. Now, I enjoy ferries. I love ferries. But they carry 14,000 people a day for the whole day. That's half an hour of rail commuters on the North Shore line in the peak, on one line. So yeah, I love ferries, but and we're going to do something with ferries. But it's like, I've said this before, it's an old joke, but I love the fact there are whales out in the ocean. I never see them, but I'm really comfortable and happy they're there. Ferries are a bit like that. Except you do see them. And we're committed to safety, we're committed to reform of the ferries, and that's coming. But at the end of the day, really, if you're talking about transport, 14,000 people a day. Light rail, which just gets acres of space in the Sydney Morning Herald, carries currently about 10,000 people a day, a minute fraction of people using buses to get to the CBD. I love bicycles. About 2,500 people a day ride into the CBD. That's about 0.5% of the share carried by rail and bus. But the things I'm belted up most about, I have to say, are light rail and bicycles, you know. And I actually, with motor scooters, and the Lord Mayor's not here, but I hate the thought of giving over our footpaths to the parking of Vespas and motorcycles. I am talking about these subjects, even though I said I wouldn't. Anyway, we'll leave that. I'm also a bit tired of so much of the debate being CBD-centric. We've got two state plan targets over the next 10 years. One is to get 75% of commuters into and out of the CBD onto public transport. Now, we're actually almost made that now, and we're very confident we'll fulfil that over the 10 years. Because we actually do that very well, better than any other state capital in Australia, and on par with other cities, the leading cities around the world. It's a good outcome. The second state plan target is to get 25% of all commuter trips in the Sydney metropolitan area onto public transport. It would seem to be not as great a task, but that's the state plan target that we will struggle to achieve, just getting 25% of all trips into public transport. And you know why? Because if you're travelling, you know why? If you're travelling from Blacktown to Windsor or Penrith to Merrylands or Campbelltown up to Auburn, generally speaking, you don't use public transport because it doesn't run as frequently enough or it doesn't run at all. This is the challenge. The challenge is sort of west of Strathfield in public transport terms, because that's where the huge congestion is, that's where the huge growth is happening in our city. Of course the CBD is important, of course we're putting together plans that will benefit, and I'll run through some of those shortly. But the real challenge over the next 10 years in public transport terms is for southwestern, western and northwestern Sydney. And that has to draw our attention. It never will draw the commentary space or whatever that it deserves, but it has to draw the attention of the state government. We're building for the future, I probably don't have time to go into this, but if you ever get the chance to read Kevin Rudd's 2020 speech at the Sydney Institute, you should have a look at it, because the city and the state and the country he describes in 2020 is remarkably different from where we are at the moment. And when you're talking about public transport, you are building for the future. The decisions we make today, many of them, especially in rail, as you know, will not come on tap for almost a decade. And therefore we've got that problem in the middle. And we are making decisions that are going to come on tap in the next 10 years or so, the North West Metro, hopefully the West Metro. But the real issue is, what do you do in between? And for Sydney, over the next decade, that means one thing, and that's buses. And it's why it was so important that we bedded down private bus reform. We've come quite a long way with that. We used to have 87 fragmented contract areas. There are now 15. We have reform in the outer metropolitan areas of the Illawarra, the Blue Mountains, the Central Coast and the Hunter, where people often don't have a large choice in public transport. This financial year, more than $218 million is being provided for private bus operators in metropolitan Sydney for the purchase of buses and for the funding of operations. We've got integrated networks which are being built. We've got fairer fares. We introduced pension excursion tickets, so that now an extra 600,000 pensioners have access to it. Many of us in this room, unless you've got a mum or a dad living in these areas, probably aren't that aware of it. I actually think the pension excursion ticket reform is one of the most significant reforms that the government can undertake. It's unlocked the life daily opportunities of 600,000 pensioners who used to go to the shops twice a week because it cost them $6 or $8. Now they get it for $2.50, so they can go to the shops every day, or visit their sick brother, or go to the hospital, or go into town for a ride. Now, you don't hear that reported a great deal. No one particularly thinks it's significant. I do. I actually think that our citizens, our mums and dads, have wider life opportunities because of a reform of that. We're also purchasing a huge number of new buses, about 1,500 over the 7 years of the contract, and about 1,500 will be refurbished. And for the first time for many years, we've got growth in patronage on our private bus network. That's also being reflected in our state transit fleet, with substantial growth that's occurring here. One of the challenges that we face, and I'm going to skip through a lot of the rest because I want to get to rail, is what do we do to reduce the carbon footprint of our transport agencies? And I actually think this is going to be an important debate over the next 5 to 10 years. If any agency or any government ministry should be environmentally friendly, it is transport, because actually we do provide the options for people to leave their car at home and to jump on a train or a bus. And increasingly we have to look at the carbon footprint that we leave as bus operators or as train operators, and I think we should be doing some new things in that, and we're looking at that over the next little while. Partly that will be the purchase of those new buses. What sort of bus will you get? Will you get a CNG bus or a Euro 5 diesel, or will you follow London and go down the path of hybrids? These are debates that we'll have to have. But if you're talking about infrastructure, you're really talking about rail, and there's a lot happening. 2010, we'll see the first of those 626 new PPP rail carriages start to be delivered. That's a $3.6 billion project, the largest ever contract for the delivery of rail carriages in Australia. They'll enable us to replace those remaining non-air conditioned carriages. We've spent $500 million on the outer suburban or Oscar cars. They're being delivered as we speak. The rail clearways plan is progressing. We've got 4 projects already complete, and we continue with that. One of them is identified just here on the poster. That's the stabling facility at McDonaldtown, difficult project in a live working rail environment. I thank Tiddick and Chris Locke, who's here, for their expertise in delivering that clearways plan. One of the issues that's bearing down on us there, and will bear down on a lot of you if it isn't already, is the skill shortage in rail and in engineering, and we're starting to do some things about that, but that wave has already hit you. And I think we need to do something cooperative about skills development here and importation from overseas, and we're starting to talk about that. With regard to passenger rail, the recent focus has been on metro, the Northwest Metro. Are we going to do it? Those 2 questions at the top, yes. Do we want your involvement? Do we want you to gear up? Yes. We're spending $106 million this financial year. We've put together about 100 people that are working on that project now. We've got a shadow operator. We've given it planning approval for at least half of it. We're getting on with it. We'll be out there boring a hole shortly. We'll have the we'll have the bulldozers rolling in 2010 so that it can be complete between Epping and Castle Hill by 2015 and from Rousville to the CBD by 2017. We are doing it because we have to. It's the people that are living there simply will not fit on the buses or across the harbour bridge to get them into the city. It is a CBD issue because a lot of those people out in the northwest do want to come down this way. I'll come more to that shortly. The Epping to Chatswood rail line will open in the start of next year, connecting Epping and Chatswood through that important area. The largest public infrastructure project currently underway in New South Wales. The commissioning process is currently underway. We'll start it with a shuttle service in the first couple of months of next year, and then we'll integrate that line into our network probably mid-year. The Southwest Rail Link, we're getting on with. By 2012, the $1.4 billion Southwest Rail Link from Glenfield to Leppington via Edmundston Park will be completed. 13 kilometres of rail line, 1,000 car parking spaces, interchanges at Leppington and Edmundston Park, new stations at Leppington and Edmundston Park. Glenfield will receive an upgrade. Construction for that project will begin next year, and it is absolutely essential for people living in that community. And to get them up through to Sydney means that we have to deliver on some of those Clearways projects that I've talked about briefly. But it's the metro to the northwest, which is the big project, $12 billion, a massive mega project, I think it may be called, on the world stage, which is why there's a lot of very talented people from overseas that are back here, and there's some in this very room, and we thank you for that. We're getting on with the project there to provide that necessary public transport for the people in the far northwest, and also to provide a rail link down the Victoria Road corridor for an area that's never had it before, but is growing very rapidly. Interchanges will be available to the heavy rail network at Wynyard, Martin Place, St James, and also at Epping, and with light rail at Pyrmont. I said I wouldn't talk about light rail, but at Pyrmont. The Northwest Metro will provide benefits, we believe, for the existing rail users by reducing crowding on the current double-deck Western Richmond and Main North lines. And as I said, it'll provide first-time rail links for those people living in Leichhardt and Gladesville and Top Ryde and out towards Epping. It'll be independent from our heavy rail system, and therefore we believe will have minimal impact on the existing rail network, except at those places where it interfaces. It'll be much faster than our current system, as any of you that know metro lines will know. 17 stations built across multiple entry points, with construction commencing both at the city and the hills end by 2010. It's an ambitious time frame and a challenging environment for construction, but we are deeply serious about it. That's why we've got Professor David Richmond and his group in charge of it, and we'll be setting up structures to carry it on. We are serious and getting on with it. We had a very successful community function last week to explain it to the people of the Northwest, and despite some cynicism, I think there's a growing acceptance that we are going to build it. And where I was criticised out there for why you're putting the stabling yards in this spot. If you're getting criticised for that, they must actually accept you're going to build it. And indeed we are. It's not much point pointing those people to the budget papers, but I can, and that proves that we're going to build it. You don't spend $100 million on a project, I mean, big amount of money in this financial year, without us being deeply serious. We've also signed those contracts with Interfleet Technology, that international rail consultancy which is here. We've got financial advisors, Macquarie Bank and Ernst & Young. We're getting on with it. The other project that we hope to get on with and that we would have some announcements about next year is the West Metro. We believe the next leg for the metro development for Sydney is from Parramatta into the city, because that's where the heaviest use is on that very heavily used western line. Yeah, there's other desires that we have to perhaps extend the Northwest Metro out to the southeast, out to Maroubra area, but that comes later. The next step and you deal with these things in a priority, is a western metro out to Parramatta. I was very pleased when the Rudd government committed to the feasibility of that line, and that work should be complete to enable decisions for next year from that infrastructure fund. We believe it brings real benefit to the people of Western Sydney, that's fairly obvious. I think it also brings benefit to people living west of Parramatta out to the Blue Mountains, because it enables us to re-engineer that existing rail line to provide more express services to the Blue Mountains, Blacktown and Richmond. And obviously it also opens up those key areas of Olympic Park, Leichhardt, the inner west. It'll make just a major difference for those communities. And as I said, the southeast metro, an extension of the northwest going out to Maroubra, would be the next cab off the rank. There is no commitment to the funding of that one at this stage. That's about half an hour. I could talk to you about freight, and very briefly I'll mention, you know, the commitment we've put into Port Botany, and we'll continue to do that. I'll just take a couple of minutes to finish. A $500 million investment in Port Botany. This is serious money going to the second most important port in Australia. We're also serious about intermodal freight terminals at Enfield, and subject to further discussions with the Commonwealth at Moorebank, and we've certainly been pushing that along, because that intermodal network will take those heavy trucks as far as possible off our roads as we get more freight onto our rail network, and that's certainly our aim and what we're planning to see achieved. In 2007-08, rail freight volumes through Port Botany rose to 310,000 TEUs, 10,000 more than the previous year. That growth is going to escalate. There's other work that we're doing on the Southern Sydney Freight Line, and the Federal Minister for the Environment made some announcements about that this week. We're getting on with that as well, and there are other plans with freight, with that that northern line, getting some expenditure on that northern line to ensure that freight movements into and out of the city are done more efficiently and perhaps impact less on our passenger network. So there's a lot happening in freight, but I won't go into any more detail about that. I hope you get the message that we're doing this work, we're committed to doing it. Look at the documents, look at the budget papers. The other reason you do it is you have to do it, because if you don't, you're going to be smashed by the voters. I mean, that draws a government's attention to a problem. And it's pretty clear that congestion on our roads and difficulties in our public transport system is sort of around about the number one issue politically at the moment in Sydney. It's a function of growth. It's a function of the great economic development that's happened in Sydney over the last 10 years, which has brought such prosperity to our city and its people. And we hope that will continue with it, those continued problems of congestion. We are very serious about it. It's what takes up more of our discussion in Cabinet Budget Subcommittee than almost any other subject. How do we get on with these huge projects that we have planned? I hope today the one message you take away from my speech is that we are very serious about our infrastructure responsibilities. We've set money aside, we're working with the Commonwealth to deliver it, and we treat it as the highest priority in government. Thanks for your attention.